Your search for love is one of the greatest missions of your adult life, but it can be so difficult and frustrating, and it can be easy to lose hope. In this episode, I'm going to teach you 5 ways to keep hope and inspiration alive while speeding your path to the kind of love you dream of. So stay tuned to this episode of the Deeper Dating Podcast.
If you've ever been disillusioned, disappointed, or discouraged in your search for love, and you know there has to be a better way to find the healthy, soul-filling love you've always longed for, then you've discovered the podcast for you. I know, as Ken's work personally has led me to find the love of my life. So here's your host of Deeper Dating, Ken Page.
Hello, and welcome to the Deeper Dating Podcast. I'm Ken Page. I'm a psychotherapist, a coach, the author of the best-selling book, Deeper Dating, the creator of the Deeper Dating Intensive, and your host on this show. This week and every week, I'm going to share with you the insights that are most likely to be able to bring you hope, empowerment, and growth in your search for lasting love and in your personal healing in your intimacy life and intimacy journey. Because the skills of dating are the skills of intimacy, and those are the richest, most important skills of all for a meaningful life. Today, I'm going to talk about how to create a sense of hope on this slog that we call dating, this obstacle course that we call intimacy, tools that will help you bring hope, light, ease, refreshment, and wisdom to your journey. And if you'd like to learn more about the Deeper Dating path to intimacy and growth, just go to deeperdatingpodcast.com. And there you'll get transcripts of every episode. And if you join my mailing list, you'll get lots of free gifts, hear about lots of free workshops, and have access to just a number of really wonderful resources. So I hope that you do that. And if you like this show, it would be a tremendous gift to me if you could leave a review on any of the platforms that you watch it on. There's lots and lots of this, hundreds of reviews of this podcast, and it means the world to me, the things that people have written. Okay, so let us jump in. So finding love is a really, really important thing. It's profoundly important. If you're someone who wants to be in a relationship, some people are really comfortable and happier not being in a relationship. But for those of us who want that, it's like a missing piece to not have it. It's really, really hard. And there's a deep longing, and there can even be kind of a sadness that's so intense that it's bitter. It's hard. There are obstacles that we hit that we didn't expect. There are assholes that we meet that we didn't expect. There are assholes that we meet who seemed wonderful at first, and then we discover that they really are not. There's betrayal. There's disappointment. There is a cold and unkind dating world. These are hard, hard things. This is a hero's journey. It is no kidding a hero's journey, and it takes time to find your beloved, and it's possible. But then the other piece is that so much dating advice is just crap. It tells you how you need to be different than you are. It gives you this horrible mixed message of be authentic, but don't be like this, don't be like that, be like this, be like that. Completely mixed, crazy-making message that doesn't teach us how to skillfully be us, live from our heart. And it's only when we live from our heart that we really attract someone who is looking for someone with a heart like ours. How would it be otherwise? I'll be right back after this. If you're interested in accelerating and deepening your search for love, I want to invite you to a very special project, the Deeper Dating Intensive. I only offer it twice a year, and it's a 6-month journey working closely with me and an amazing community to transform each member's search for love. And you can learn more at deeperdatingintensive.com. And if it feels like a match, on that page you can set up a free one-on-one session with me to explore possibilities. I look forward to connecting if this speaks to you. Welcome back. So these are all of the reasons why it can be so hard. And what I want to talk about in this episode is how to create hope, because you need to create hope on this journey. We need to create hope. We need to create meaning. We need to create inspiration. And there are ways to do that, that not only make us feel better, but lead us so much more quickly to healthy love. So I'm going to frame this for you in an acronym. And the acronym is the word birth. And in my online course and in my intensives, this is like one of the workbook exercises that we do. So I'm going to lead you through this. And each of these is something that if you do it, you will have more hope. This will give you hope. It will also give you velocity in your journey. It's going to be a wind at your back as you do these things. And because the search for love is so precious and such a big deal and affects the moments and the days and the nights of the rest of your future so deeply, it is wise to give it your absolutely most resourced approach. So I want to tell you, I want to walk you through the letters of this acronym, and I want you to think about each one and think about how it applies to you. And my hope and my dream is that by the time we get to the end of this episode, which is about 20 minutes long, you will have more hope and you will have more of a sense of direction. And you will have hopefully more of a sense of self-validation, because this is a brave journey and we need that. All right, let's move through this. So the first, okay, and it's not necessarily the first, but it's the first in this acronym so that it could work to be the acronym BIRTH. And it's a big one. It is bravery. So in the work that I teach, a lot of it is very interiorized. It's about naming your core gifts, honoring your core gifts, treasuring them, understanding them as your path to greatness, as the language of your love, understanding the skills that you need to develop to be able to wield the power and the tenderness of your core gifts. So that's deep, healing, nourishing inner work, and super, super important. And we'll get to that one in the I, which is inspiration. But we cannot leave out bravery. Bravery is like without bravery, your search for love is going to be like trying to bake bread with no yeast. Bravery is the yeast. It's what makes things rise. So what does that mean? Well, it means the bravery of telling someone you care about them. It means the bravery of showing your heart. It means the nitty-gritty bravery of getting out there. And in my intensives, we spend so much time supporting each other in that process of getting out there. And I'm hoping that all of you who study this work seriously, who actually really want to take on the coursework, and it is, it's a framework, it's an absolute map, that you do it in a group, in a book group, with an individual learning partner. We'll get to that one. That's T. But that helps us be brave. Like your learning partner says to you, okay, so you like that person. Are you going to reach out to them? And you're like, okay, I will. And then your learning partner says, okay, cool. When are you going to do it? And then give me a call and let me know how it goes. And you say, okay, we need that. We need that, because this is existentially brave. Looking for love is existentially brave. Looking for love with wisdom is existentially brave in a wise way. So, bravery, getting out there, sharing what's in your heart. Oh, here's another really big one. Is this is something that a very wise person in one of the intensives said. She said, to find out if someone's right for you early on in the relationship, be brave enough to do your serious and big asks. So the bravery of doing your asks, the bravery of showing who you really are, your fierceness, your passion, your originality, your tenderness, your need. Brave, 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 brave. This is a journey that requires bravery, and bravery requires a context of support, inner and outer, I believe. So that's bravery. And I want you to take for a minute now. One other thing I want to say about bravery, and the research proves this to be true, is that when you scare yourself with your bravery, your erotic and libidinal self becomes fueled. You become more sexual. You become more romantic. You become more kind of alive in these ways. Fear can do that to you. And consciously doing something that you know is good and is scary enlivens you, empowers you, like brings blood supply to your overall being. So bravery, bravery, bravery. Yes, yes, yes. And I'd like you to think for a minute now about your own bravery. I really would like you to do this. I would like you to take a minute and think about, in the arena of love, even if it hasn't worked out, how you have been brave. Just think of some incidents of bravery and just appreciate that about yourself. I think it's so important that we recognize that. And maybe even, how are you being brave now? How are you being brave right now in your intimacy life? Take a minute to think about that. And next, how are you being called upon to be brave? Like, what is your, what I call your next brave step? What do you think your next brave step will be? And here's what I want to say to you. It's best, in most cases, not to do it alone. If you're like, no, I can do it, and I can do it like tonight or tomorrow morning or the next day, like I know I can do it and I'm going to do it, that's one thing. That's fine. If you're like, oh, that's going to take bravery, I'm going to do it, I know I'm going to do it at some point, get support. I promise you, you will do it so much more quickly. You will speed your journey. So yeah, think for a minute about, what is your next brave step on this intimacy journey? Bravery fuels hope. It gets your blood going. So there's a sense of aliveness and vitality and energy. That's a great gift of intimacy, is it asks us to be brave. Gandhi said that. He said, love is the, is this what he said? Yeah. He said, love is the prerogative of the brave. So yeah. Okay. That's the B. The I is inspiration. And I got lots to say about that. And, you know, many of my podcasts are about the search for love as a spiritual path. And many of my podcasts are about attractions of inspiration versus attractions of deprivation. So I'm not going to go into that in great detail here, but in your intimacy journey, how much are you aligning toward inspiration? Even more than you're aligning toward like a more negative take on it, which is like I have to like clear the field of jerks to find that like treasure. That's okay. It's a little bit negative, and it's not as effective as saying, I want inspiration. I love inspiration. I'm calling on inspiration. Attractions of deprivation are attractions where there is significant deprivation, and you get triggered into thinking you need to prove, you need to teach. Now, is this true in every deep ongoing relationship? Yes, but there has to be an essential self of being met and see a sense of being loved, seen, and this person being an attraction of inspiration. If someone is an active alcoholic or drug addict, active, they're not going to be an attraction of inspiration. If someone's a narcissist in deep ways, they're not going to be an attraction of inspiration. If someone does not love you in basic and essential ways for who you are, not an attraction of inspiration. So saying, I want someone who is kind and generous, has a big heart, loves me for who I am, is present, available, and honest. And that's all I want, is that kind of goodness. There's a way that when you do that, you call that. You call that. You really, really do. That's a powerful thing. So that's one kind of inspiration, is you ask yourself this question. Does my soul feel safe and seen with this person in a consistent way? That's how you look for inspiration. And when you do that, and the research backs this up, you are more likely to notice it and be attracted to it. These are beautiful wisdom lessons that give us inspiration in so many parts of our lives when we do them. Another one that is a really big one is, like, finding love is obviously not a journey from A to B. We got no ways that tells us make a right, make a left, make a right, make a left. But we do have something. We have our intuition. And your intuition kind of is like these, like, little gusts that feel like wisdom, that tell you to soften your heart, or tell you to be stronger and clearer, or speak your truth. And you feel them like gusts, little bursts of wisdom, or maybe big bursts of wisdom. When you feel those, you are invigorated, you're inspired, and then you take that next step, which requires bravery, and your world becomes somewhat different. Your vantage point becomes different. The paradigm you're living on, living from, shifts in some way, which means your future shifts, which is a really, 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 really awesome thing. So listening to your wisdom messages, and actually the very last podcast was exactly about that, about learning to use your wisdom messages to guide you on this strange and crazy voyage to find and keep love. So, inspiration. And here's another inspiration. I just want to mention this third one. That is, and oh God, do I believe in this? Recognizing the ways that you're growing, recognizing the ways that you're stretching, and growth is often not pretty, and growth is often messy, and the reformation of self doesn't look like a reformation of self very often, which is why we need to consciously have people who love us to remind us of our beauty, of the beauty of our growth, and for us to begin to say, and I want you to consider doing this right now, how have you grown in your intimacy journey? What are the lessons you're learning that are making you kinder, wiser, more dedicated, more clear, more self-honoring? This is like the way that I describe positive change. It's like you're driving from New York to Florida. There is not going to be a change in the temperature automatically. It is a subtle thing. All of a sudden, you'll notice that it's just maybe a little bit warmer. You'll notice that maybe the plants are a little bit different. You notice these slight things and you say, oh, there's change happening. There's a change of climate. That's how our growth is. We need to notice the tiny shifts of climate in our intimacy journey. We need to honor ourselves for that because, like I said, you know, there's this adolescent awkwardness that is a beautiful and true part of human growth. But when we feel adolescent awkwardness, mostly we just feel ashamed. So we need to be able to recognize the growth that we're doing. And I want to ask you right now to just think of three ways that you have been growing emotionally, spiritually, in your intimacy journey. Maybe two ways, maybe one way. Any of those things are fine. So inspiration needs to be, you know, and I deeply believe in daily practice, some kind of daily practice. I speak about that in lots of other episodes. But I really believe in a daily practice because we need to keep those gusts, those bursts of micro wisdom coming in our lives. They are what make us beautiful. They are what make us us. They are what make us shine. And as I said before, when we shine, we are more noticed by people that love who we are. Okay, next is rewiring. That's the R. So rewiring is like, what are the lessons that you learned about finding love that like didn't work for you? What are the ways that you behave in intimate relationships that are sabotaging, that push people away? All of us do. This is something I say all the time, is that if you're human, you have fear of intimacy. If you are breathing, you have fear of intimacy. If you are breathing, you have unskilled behaviors that sabotage intimacy. Our job is to open to the learning. And the amazing thing that happens is as you do that rewiring, your field shifts. Like as we admit the ways we push love away, as we admit the ways that we have been ashamed of our core gifts and haven't honored them, as we admit like the hardness of acknowledging that we haven't spoken our truth and have this feeling like now we want to do that, as we admit these things, our field shifts. And when our field shifts, our magnetic field shifts, our magnetism shifts, the people we're attracted to and the people we're attracting begin to shift as well. So that rewiring is not easy. That's as hard as any other part of the dating journey. It is humbling as hell. I say this sometimes. I say there isn't a day that goes by that I am not humbled by my clay feet when it comes to being able to love. Not a day. And if I can hold that with humanity, then I am okay. I am good. So that rewiring, here's another thing. And these are big, big, big subjects that I, you know, in the intensive, we spend huge amounts of time on. And in the book, I speak about, in all of my work, I speak about, but what are your flight patterns? How are you pushing love away? And also like, what are your dating patterns that don't work? Because remember, online dating sculpts bad behavior, sculpts immaturity, sculpts not taking the time to know a human being, sculpts us from doing this deeply human act of growing attraction in healthy ways. Because when all you look for is what's an immediate attraction, you stop looking for soul. And we need to put soul first. We need to put like the essence of a person, their goodness, their ability to see us, our way that we feel safe with them. That needs to come first, not second, not third. Sexual and romantic attraction sometimes follow that. Sometimes they don't, and we never have to be with someone we're not attracted to. Never. We never do. But when we put this kind of soul piece there first, our entire search for love shifts on its axis. And I tell you this, I promise you this, you are so much more likely to find happiness. Really, really, really. So rewiring, big, big, big subject. And one that takes like there's lots of crossroads. And at those crossroads, my belief and my experience is that very often I need those micro gusts of wisdom from inside myself. I need the wisdom of friends. I need the wisdom of maybe expert support. I need those wisdoms because at those crossroads that feel awkward and uncomfortable, the first impulse is to go back to what is very possibly a regressive way to handle it that is not going to get us what we want. It's in that opening of saying, oh, I'm at a crossroads. And we listen to wisdom wherever it comes from. And we feel an opening and we feel a mobility and we feel a core that we can move from in a different and more flexible way. And that's just one of the best, best, best feelings in the world. And when we feel that, we get more hope. Okay, T is team, which is having a learning partner, having a community. Like I've said, in everything that I teach, I encourage people to have a learning partner. My intensives are like all learning partners, but everyone still gets a learning partner. I had learning partners when I was looking for a relationship. So important. Please, please, please don't think you can do it. We always think we can do this on our own. It's like, I feel like it's this like brain flaw that human beings have, that it's like we kind of devolve into this thing of like, oh, I can do it myself. These glasses here, my glasses. I was doing my exercises out on the balcony, and I have ADHD, and so but I didn't want to like take the time to put my glasses somewhere smart. So I put them in the flower pot, and I said, "Oh no, I'll remember. I'll remember where I put my glasses. I really will, Ken. You're gonna really remember." 2 days later, I'm searching all around the house for my glasses. 2 days later. I'm out on the balcony and I'm like, oh, yeah. Did I put them in the flower pot? Yes, I did. And I went to the flower pot and there they were. I just got them a few hours ago. But anyway, a silly example of how we fool ourselves as human beings by thinking we got it covered. We're okay. We could do this on our own. We got it. When it comes to a hardened pattern, maybe we don't have it. And that's like pretty much universal. And the research backs that up fully. So dear, dear, dear folks, if you really care about this one, get support, get help. Don't let that be a maybe. Let that be an absolute yes. What that support is like, you decide. But let there be support. And if it's a learning partner, make sure it's someone who is kind, consistent and present and sees your heart and your soul and with whom you feel safe and seen. Okay, the final one is honoring. So in my book, Deeper Dating, I wrote something about honoring that I would love to share with you. Okay. In the long run, it is the act of honoring that is the antidote to our bewilderment and the path to our own unique genius. The act of self-treasuring, and that's what I mean by honoring, may be challenging, but ultimately it's the most comforting path of all. Every other path hurts. Everything else is broken glass, sharp brambles in our side. Honoring is the skill that enables us to live the beauty and the mission of our core gifts in the world. Honoring requires giving up the whip we wield against ourselves. It requires a kindness, a listening to our gifts. Our gifts are at once too powerful, too original, and too tender to be ordered around by us. They will never stop drawing outside of the lines. And if we try to make them, they will hide in plain sight until the threat is gone. Anything less than honoring is essentially an act of violence against our being. I love that. And that's the act of honoring. And that is kind of where we need to start again and again in your relationship. And this is like a fabulous question that I think all of us can ask ourselves to realign and get on a path that allows our beauty to radiate. Am I honoring myself at this moment? Am I honoring my experience? Am I honoring my need for space? Am I honoring my pacing? Am I honoring my heart? And how can I realign so that I can do that? And in my relationship, am I honoring my partner? Am I honoring myself? Because honoring is human happiness when we can really, really honor our truth and our hearts. So, yeah, and it's a brave act because that's how we discover our core gifts and our authenticity, because there is like a skin of shame around our core gifts. And that task of like naming the beauty of our core gifts and honoring them is an act that both empowers us and frees up the love in our heart. So, dear folks, those are the letters of this acronym that if you do, you will bring hope and wisdom to your journey, and no small thing, you will speed and direct your path to the kind of love you dream of. Thank you so much for listening, and I will connect with you on the next episode of the Deeper Dating Podcast.
And that's it for today's episode of Deeper Dating. Be sure to go to deeperdatingpodcast.com as Ken has a few more gifts for you. Then join us on the next episode.